Praise the Lord, everyone. Good to see you all. How about we have a quick word of prayer before we look into the Word. Loving Father, Lord, thank you for this opportunity that you have given to each one of us. Thank you for your presence with us this morning, Lord. As many of my brothers and sisters have prayed and acknowledged that it is a privilege to come into your presence once again, we acknowledge, Lord, it's a privilege to be debt-free. As we sang the song, Lord Jesus, you have this morning through your word reminded us, Lord Jesus, that you are not an ordinary God who just made some promises and disappeared, but you're a God who, Lord, demonstrated your love at the cross, and Lord Jesus, and more importantly, you're supreme over all things that you reminded us. Lord, this morning as we look into thy precious word, once again, Lord, we are incapable people to discern what you want us to hear, but Lord Jesus, in thy spirit, in thy power, Lord Jesus, many things can change in our lives and has already started to change from the time that we have, Lord, known you. So, Lord, this morning we submit our time, Lord, into your hands, that you will bless us. Every act of distraction will be taken away, and Lord Jesus, that we will give you the glory that you deserve. And Lord Jesus, we will continue to focus on you. We will focus and fix our eyes on you, Lord Jesus. Once again, thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our King. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Once again, it's a beautiful morning. As you probably may have noticed, that a lot of us are sitting here without jackets. It just means it's getting warmer. That's very good. Spring is coming, and that's good. We're probably looking forward to that as well. And there are many things that we are looking forward to, right? Hopefully, we are looking forward to something this week. And looking forward is always that we humans are... our minds and our hearts revolve like that, looking forward to something that makes us joyful. Sometimes if there is a calamity coming our way, we prepare ourselves to face that calamity. But there is, regardless of if it is a calamity or if it is something great and magnificent happening, we are always looking forward to something. A few weeks ago when I was standing here, I remember that you know, there was a question that a Pharisee asked our Lord Jesus Christ while he was being... just on his journey to the cross. There was a question that the Pharisee asked in, and not the Pharisee, actually a high priest asked him, saying, "Are you the Christ?" That was Mark 14. And that's a very important question for each one of us to consider this almost afternoon now, right? So, "Are you the Christ?" was the question that that high priest asked Jesus. At first instance, he even before that, you know, there was another question that that was asked to the Lord Jesus. "Why do you answer? Do you answer nothing?" So a couple of questions that that high priest 2,000 years ago, before our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, was being asked. First question, he did not say anything. Second question, he very clearly said, "I am." And then he said this verse: "And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with clouds of heaven." Now at this time, did that high priest know what he was talking? Obviously not. Did he know what, do we know what he was talking? Obviously yes. That's what motivates us to come here this morning. Hopefully it does. Hopefully it does. That's a question. We are motivated by many things. But the answer to this question has motivated a generation of believers. What is that answer he gave? "The Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power." He is now sitting at the right hand of power. The rest, the last part of that answer, is what we call as the second coming of our Lord. Coming with the clouds of heaven. In Acts chapter 1, the two angels who were standing after 40 days of our Lord Jesus Christ, after being resurrected, after this Pharisee and this world, and probably all of us as well who crucified him, he came to life, he went to the cross, he was in that place for our sins, and he came out of the tomb. And we heard many times during the last 3 or 4 weeks of what he accomplished, and then he went. And those two angels who were standing there said, "Why are you standing amazed? What is there to be amazed? The way he went up on the Mount of Olives, up to heaven, in that same way he's going to come back." And that is what this high priest did not get. But this morning we are privileged to be made aware of that fact. This morning we are the children of that Lord Jesus Christ, Son of Man, sitting on the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Aren't we all very privileged people? Aren't we all very people who needs to get motivated? Motivation is everything. If you don't have motivation, you would not achieve a thing. You might do a half-baked attempt in something. Have you been noticing what's the tally in the Commonwealth Games for the Australians? Has anyone been noticing? Huh? Yeah? Yeah? They're pretty much up there, isn't it? Very much. Who said who's top? At the top? Australia's at the top. You reckon now those athletes who have reached that top have not been motivated for that medal and that position, and they haven't spent any time thinking, training, preparing, watching their own lifestyles? You wouldn't find them in the streets of Sydney brawling with one another, drinking or anything. You can't. They might be, but you know, it's this, that lifestyle is not going to give them that ultimate gold medal. We as children of God have to be absolutely motivated by this fact. Every day we get up, we need to think about this fact. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming on the clouds. That question that high priest asked, "Are you Christ?" Jesus Christ answered the question not only to that high priest at that moment. From Genesis to Revelation, this is the exact answer that he's been pointing to. So last time I remember, I had to take my paper and go through all of the notes that I had, lots of them. It's a good thing to type them and have the notes. I looked at these notes again because I myself forgot. And I looked at it again and again, and I was thinking, if someone asked me, "What did you preach last week?" what would I say? In a minute. What would it mean to me? What would mean to you? What does it all mean to us when we look at that just single verse that high priest was told? That was the actual message. Why did he come? Then our Lord Jesus Christ will come back. It's a public event. It's a personal event. It's an event that the world will see. And he himself spoke about this event at length. His Old Testament prophets spoke about this. Daniel, Joel, Zechariah, Malachi, Job, long list of people. Psalmist, Psalm 2. All of the Old Testament prophets were looking towards this event. Paul spoke about this event. He thought in his generation this event will happen. This is a significant event that should change my life and your life to one little fact. And that was the last bit, hopefully in my own weaknesses I communicated, is to watch. To watch, to be careful what you do. To be careful in what you do today, tomorrow, because nobody knows if tomorrow is there for each one of us. And this is the problem that we live in. We do not know. if tomorrow is there, but we assume it is there. And that's probably because most of us are very young here. But if you are on your journey in the ages of 75, 80, you will no doubt start thinking, how many days do you have left in this earth? Now, it's not a bad thing to finish our life in this earth, but it will be a bad thing to finish without spending enough time and not being in a position, just like Paul said, I have fought the good fight. It will be a bad thing. You know, somebody was telling me, I was listening to this story about, I don't know if it was the radio or something, but the story comes back to me very vividly of a man who had only 30 days to live. He had only 30 days to live, and he has been told that he only has 30 days to live. That's it. And he was suffering, obviously, from something major. It was very clear foresight that the end is coming. Now, what does that man do when someone says something like that to that? Well, what would you do? Now, what would a young person do? You just have to walk into Children's Hospital in Westmead, and there are wards where there are children who will not see the face of tomorrow, or this week, or this year. But what would those people do when they have been foretold that the end is coming? It's very unexpected. They didn't expect it. They will crank up their priorities. That's all what this message is about. They will crank up their priorities. Priorities is everything. If you do not have priorities, you will mess up your life and you will stand amazed. Well, how badly you reprioritized your life for things. We live in a fallen world. Because we live in a fallen world, this verse does not speak loud enough to us. I've said enough. There were two of his disciples. Turn with me. Now I'm going to read. There is three readings today. From Mark, just one chapter. From Revelation. And then a couple of verses from Peter and Jude that will give us an application. And that's all. But it's extremely important that we take this to heart and apply it on my own life. Because I was thinking for a brief moment, why didn't I remember all of these things written in this piece of paper? This 4 weeks. Now I'm encouraging myself to continue to look at these verses, right? So turn with me to Mark chapter 13. There were two disciples who went up and asked. This is now, you've got to step into the timeline. These are two disciples last week of our Lord Jesus Christ in this earth. This is his last week, and these disciples are very much keen to know about some important things. And this is possibly a Wednesday or a Thursday before the Passover comes. And then here comes, you know, in Mark chapter 14, the trial has started. And that high priest has taken him over and given him to Pilate. And then starts his journey to the cross. This is last week. Those disciples went out. And what do they ask? Said, "Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all of these things will be fulfilled?" I don't know if you remember, last time I spoke about 33 different signs in quick succession. 23 from 2 Timothy and about 10 from Matthew. Olivet disclosure that we all know when our Lord Jesus Christ was asked about these things. Many signs. These disciples have asked, an inner circle disciples, when will these things be? Now, let me read this quickly, the tribulation aspect that And just try and grasp as much as you can, because it's important, right? And Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. But when you hear wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and the kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But watch out for yourself, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before the rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them
and the gospel must be first preached to all the nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of Daniel the prophet standing there, it not, in brackets, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on housetop not go down into the house, nor enter to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter, for in those days there will be tribulation, such as not been seen since the beginning of the creation which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless the Lord has shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ, or look, he is there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed. See, I have told you all things beforehand. It's good to know all things beforehand, isn't it? The one thing that we can be certain is all of these things will happen. Will happen. Okay, main part of this message here, this morning. But in those days, after that tribulation, mark that word, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. Then he gives these disciples parables. Inner circle of our Lord Jesus Christ wanted to know, when will these signs be? He first pointed out at that temple, that magnificent temple, the reconstructed temple of Solomon, and said, this temple will not have a single stone left. It came to pass, AD 70, that temple got destroyed. There are some remains of that temple. But then he quickly wanted these four disciples to fast forward. They must have been thinking this is going to happen soon. 2,000 years have gone from that time and have been told he's going to gather the elect from four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. This is the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's an extraordinary event where we, when we get up, need to be motivated for. We need to be motivated too. We need to get up and think our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. It's beautiful. Last time, I asked myself a question. Yes, our Lord Jesus is coming back. From knowledge perspective, I'm aware of that. So what I need to do? I think the two words I underlined in my notes was continue to pursue holiness. Now, holiness is something that we all understand. But why do we do it? Why do we want to continue to get rid of sin and say, I'm not going to go in that path? Why? Is it because somebody else would say, well done, you didn't do that sin? No. Oh, our brother this morning told, he knows the heart. Because he knows our heart. Where is our heart?
pursue. He's telling to each one of us to pursue. That's why he's put these words here. Revelation, turn with me to 19. I'm going to read only 3 verses of this because there is much in that 19. I want to focus on a few parts of that, and we will see what the Lord is reminding to our own spirits. And verse 11 says, "Now I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war." That's our Father. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the man whom a generation of people, including all of us, have crucified in the first place. He came on a donkey, on a colt. But this man, when he comes back again, is going to come to judge and make war. He's coming to judge, not us, judge the world who has rejected him. Oh, that's the world that we live in. That's the world that is dwindling in this country. I don't know who was saying 40% is the professed faith-based people remaining here. It's a dwindling majority. This country is beautiful in its comforts. That's why nobody here wants to say, "Come, Lord Jesus." There is abundance of everything in this country. We ourselves are privileged to it. We get everything that we want in our fingertips. We have hot water. We have food. We have abundance of sunshine. We have beaches. We have natural resources. Most of us have jobs. And if you don't, government will pay us. We don't have to worry about things. But yet we are whinging about many things in this land. The Lord Jesus is going to come back to make war with Australia too. He's going to judge. That's why he's coming back. To judge those who don't belong to him. Now watch the descriptions of things he says. His eyes were like flame of fire, on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. What a spectacular event. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations of this world. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. Why do the nations rage? The psalmist in Psalm 2 asks this question. Why do the nations rage and make war? Look, here is a prophecy that will come true. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepresses of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name that is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The return of this conqueror is by no way that this world has seen before. He is coming to judge. He is coming in a spectacular cosmic event. There is no need for anyone to get confused if Christ is here or not. Every eye shall see. There is going to be darkness in this world. The sun will stop shining. There will be no sunshine. The night, the moon will not give any light. Stars will be falling down from heaven. And then there will be eternal, there will be absolute darkness. And then from, as the lightning flashes from the east to the west, he will appear in the clouds just like he went up. We do not think enough of his coming back. Watch that clouds when you go out next time. You see, that's the place that he will come back from. He's coming back, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's gathering his elect.
and coming back. By this time, the marriage supper of the Lamb has happened. Rapture has happened. He's asking us to prepare. He's telling us something that we... It's good, it's working. Let's keep walking. He's telling us something, reminding us something very important. What is it? What is it? What is he telling us? Because he just told us he's coming back in the cloud. To be prepared. How can we miss it? We all got prepared in some capacity to come to church this year, this morning, isn't it? Preparation is key for the return. You know that man I was talking who was giving that example, he's only got 30 days to spend in this earth. What would he do if he's got only 30 days to spend in this earth? What would he do? What would she do if that is on a pew? What would he do? You will use, redeem the time appropriately. What is the inappropriate thing that we get ourselves entangled? And that is what this world that we live in, especially in Sydney, Australia, is. Because we are in the helm of comfort. A believer who is living in a hut in South of Africa or in some very poor part of the world who's being persecuted for their faith will be telling, come Lord Jesus, this is it. I just want you to come. Because we are so cozy in all what we do here. Say, hey, well, it's getting delayed. Thank God I get another couple of days to work on what we need to do. But what we need to do is what is driving a lot of us. What he needs to do, he's telling us, I have told you these things beforehand. That's what he told the disciples. Coming back to Mark 13, he gave those four disciples a little bit of a parable talk of the fig tree. And what is that? Now then, learn this parable from the fig tree. Oh, fig tree is very commonly used in the Old Testament as parables. And in this particular instance, what is he telling in the fig tree? When this branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Oh, we live in this earth that is some way, shape or form designed to make it attractive to us. But all what he said here is there is coming a time. Revelation chapter 7 to 19 that we all skipped this morning. Otherwise, we could have read that. There is coming a time when the seven seals will be opened. There is coming a time, probably in the process of opening already. The trumpets will open. There is coming a time when the bowl judgments will be opened. There is coming a time, bloodshed, atrocities, things in this world will open. Oh, we don't have to focus on that tribulation. What we have to focus is there's also coming a time, the signs that he has given to us that he is coming back in his clouds. For what? To establish his kingdom on this earth. We'll keep that topic for another session, another time. What will we do when he comes back on this earth? We will look into that. We probably need to spend much more time. We looked at the manner that he was coming. We looked at the purposes that he was coming for. We also looked at that word that said in Hebrews chapter 9, somewhere in the middle, and I still remember. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9, who loved his appearing. 27 and 28. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time. What a great encouragement for us. He will appear a second time, those who eagerly wait. He's telling us, he's encouraging us to eagerly wait for him. Apart from sin, for salvation. Beautiful, isn't it? Eagerly wait. We've been asked to think about this more often. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Not reading the whole chapter, but I want to read a few verses, because there is this bloodshed moment of this world, this fallen world, written in this quite in detail. 24 and 25, you can go back home and read through all of that. But here is 20 in Matthew chapter 24, verse 27 says, "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." There is a shaking that will happen. The beast, which we looked at long time ago in Daniel, and we looked at that little horn. Don't know if you remember. Daniel chapter 7. There were many horns. There was this last empire. There will be much shaking that is yet to happen in this world. Oh yeah? This year itself, in the last few years, there was lots of countries that are continuing to go to war, or that threatening to go to war. There are pestilences that's coming and all that. But nothing like this still yet to come. Okay, watch what else happens again. Moon, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all tribes of the earth will mourn. But that was the bit that was missing in the previous bit. All tribes of this earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other end. And then the story of the fig tree repeated here in Matthew as well. It's actually repeated again in Luke as well. But Luke actually specifies, or not just on the fig tree, he actually talks like any tree. When you look at any tree starting to give its leaves, Luke says that they can discern that it's... that summer is coming. And we all can. Well, we are sitting here in August and September is coming. We can see a lot of the rose buds beginning to give leaves and things like that. Those of us who have gardens. Well, we can discern that, right? That's what it's going to be in the last days. And then, example here in the days of Noah, how people were living. I think I probably might have read this last time as well, but let me read it again. "But of that day and hour, no one knows, even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." So it's the point here is this is not going to be given in an email to us on a phone call that I'm coming back on 26th of September 2022. Not going to happen. So what does that mean? That means that it will come upon us while we think it's not coming. So what does that mean? That means we have to assume it could be any time. We can't be thinking, oh, well, the time has not yet come. You know, it probably will be in another 1,000 years. No, that's not the attitude that he wants. And he talks about the signs of the time of Noah. "But of that day and hour, no one knows, even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days of before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore,
For you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. I think a lot of us answered that question, so what? Let us be prepared. You know, in Mark, there is another little exhortation given to us. Turn with me, you'll read this. In Mark chapter 13, this is a little bit of a different way that Mark communicated to us through this beautiful word. What did he say? But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray. Okay? For you do not know when the time is. Now, it is like the man going into a far country. Now, pay attention to this analogy. Okay? It is like a man going into a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants. Okay, think. Who is this man who's gone into the far country? And who are his servants? Who are his servants who have authority? Very clearly, it's talking about us. And to each his work. Well, that's the most important part of this thing. We servants of the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords have been given some work to do in this earth, to each one of us. Our King physically is not here. He's sitting at the right hand of Father, but he's coming back in the clouds. Because he's coming back in the clouds, and all these things have been now told to each one of us beforehand, including me, he's telling us, he's reminding us, what's your work? Not the work that we go from Monday to Friday to get motivated to pay salary. We wouldn't go if we don't get a salary at the end of the month. We will quickly stop going. We only go because we get money at the end of the day. Here is another work that our Lord Jesus Christ has reminded us, which is the work of bringing people who are going to be judged and eternally separated into the kingdom. And that's what our dear brother Johnson last week spoke to us about and encouraged us. And those people won't come into the kingdom when they don't see Christ-like purity in our lives. They need to see. If they see a hint of hypocrisy, devil will use them. Let us examine our lives. And you know what? This further goes. And commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. Authority has been given to his servants to do his work. The master of our house, the spiritual house that we are building, is gone, but he's coming back on the clouds. And every tongue and knee and every forces in this world will see it and confess there's going to be a big shakedown that will happen. They will all camp against him. There is a massive tribulation that will happen. There is that 7-year period where that authority will be given. We are not to sit here and behave as if we don't know about any of these things. We are here to get up in the morning and thank our Lord by telling that what a great privilege to be his servant. What a great privilege it is to be coming back with him. I hope I haven't said anything new. To be coming back with him to establish his kingdom for 1,000 years in this earth. We'll look into that, God willing, in the days to come. Now, all of this is great. Fantastic stuff. 2 Peter, turn with me. Chapter 3. This will give us enough what God wants us to do. He is giving us another rendering here through 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. I received a house call saying from somebody from my neighbors tells me that, you know, my house is on fire. I'll be rattled. Something's to be done. We all will be. That's what we are. Well, look at this verse. What says? The elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it, and burned up. For since all these things will be dissolved, will be dissolved. What? This is the earth that we live in. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Now watch that word in verse 12. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. We naturally are not looking for, and we will not, because we live in this world. But here we are, and we read these verses. You know, everything that we do, at some point in time, will be all dissolved. Because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Revelation 19 is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before all of those chapters of those judgments is the significant tribulations that will be happening. The 70th week as of Daniel. Then will come his reign on this earth. He will establish his kingdom. And then there is going to be a brief period of time where Satan will be let loose again, and then he'll be cast into hellfire. That is where he was designed to, and the people that he took alongside with him. But there is a new heaven and a new earth that is extremely different to what we are used to. Not that we're focusing on that too much. You just have to read Revelation 20 and 21 and 22 on that. Our job, as I finish, is just read these few verses that has been very encouraging over centuries for people who persevered, is saying, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Right. There is a big contingent of people in this world who follow that twisting of the scriptures for their own benefit. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, how many times did we read this morning? Since you know this beforehand. You know this beforehand. We always knew this because it's written here. Beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Oh, beautiful comfort to all of us after this, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, is telling us to prepare ourselves for this great day of the Lord. His second coming, with His saints, His coming back. Let us continue to pursue that holiness. Let us continue to not fall from our own steadfastness. What is steadfastness? Every time this world has attracted us more, we have fallen us from our steadfastness. This world is so attractive, not only to the worldly people, but also to the church. It is very attractive, I'll tell you that. Our conversations, our things that we strive for, are sometimes because we live in this fallen world. But these things have been told to us beforehand to prepare ourselves. To prepare ourselves, to prepare our children, to prepare our families, to prepare our church, to prepare our communities, to prepare our near and dear ones, to prepare the ones whom you do not want to go to hell, to prepare. We have great job. Authority has been given to His servants to do His work. What a privilege to do the work of the King of Kings, who is going to shake up the powers of heaven. I'm deliberately not getting stuck in the topics of eschatology here. We could. There is here a clear question that I started off with. When that question that high priest asked Jesus, "Are you Christ?" What did he answer? "I am." He didn't get it. But we are privileged people who have won the beautiful lottery ticket of getting it. Is it a lottery ticket? No, it's not a lottery ticket. It's not a random thing. Think about it. We did not win the lottery here. We have been predestined to be in this kingdom. We have been plucked before He created this beautiful earth. He had in His mind each of our names. That's why He created. He already knew. And there are more people to come into this kingdom. And that's why we have much work to do and very little time to waste. Very little time to be off focus. Otherwise, we wouldn't get any medals. Otherwise, we would be like that that story of that servant who, in Mark 13, was given. We got to continually evaluate. Today, are we like that? Tomorrow, are we going to be like that? What does the Lord want us to do this morning? What does the Lord expect us to do tomorrow, this week? Got to ask that questions, right? Then we will see, oh, he didn't. At the end of the day, you might fail. But you clear, if you are not aware of what those mistakes are, then you will continue to get on top of it. And one more thing, and the other thing, and everything just becomes casual. Then there is no winning the race. Then you can't claim like the Paul claimed. I have fought the good fight of faith. Because Paul claimed it at his end of his life. Let us not assume we have indefinite life in this earth. Let us not assume just because I'm in my 40s, or we have people here in 20s, right? We have people here in 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. Let's not assume tomorrow morning we would be able to see each other physically. But if not, then let's make good use of the time that our Lord has given to each one of us. So with that said, I have much more to share on this subject, but you will have to continue to persevere in writing these verses down, because the next time, God willing, I'll come and say something, God willing, on the subject of what's going to happen. It will be good to read during this coming 4 weeks, just Matthew chapter 24, 25, Ezekiel chapter 38, 39, Revelation chapter 20. Okay, long list. But do read this, because I will share some more things that the Lord is reminding me. And that will be very helpful to all of us here, for us to be singularly focused to win the medal. If you're not focused, we're not getting any medals. Let's close in prayer. Loving Father, Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that you have reminded us authority has been given to his servants to do his work. Lord Jesus, how magnificent will your coming will be to those who believe, but to the ones who have rejected you, judgment will fall on them. Lord Jesus, Lord, we are not saying this with any pride in our hearts that it should. Lord Jesus, we are just saying this because, Lord, you counted us worthy to fall out of that. Because, Lord Jesus, you are the one who has selected us. You are the one who continues to persevere with us. Lord, we are not the one who perseveres with you. Lord, you are the one who forgives. When we come like little children back to you, you are willing to forgive. Lord Jesus, help us not make this a recurring occurrence in your presence. Lord Jesus, we want to be a servant who redeemed the time while it's still day. Lord Jesus, we will work for your purposes, and your purposes are much many. Laborers are quite few in this world. The attractions of this world continually affect me, continues to affect thy children. Lord Jesus, we are reminded, Lord, of that verse in 2 Peter, the elements of this earth will be dissolved, but your word will not change. Lord Jesus, you have promised us eternal life. Very seldom I think through the week of what that eternal life means. Very seldom, when things go wrong, I claim comfort in that verse which says that I have been chosen before the foundation of this world. Lord, we are so grateful that we have your Holy Spirit with us. We are so grateful that we have this precious written word of God in our own language that we can pick up and read. Lord, help us to continue to motivate ourselves to be pure and holy and blameless. We ask all of these things in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.